This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. Oh boy, we have a little bit to talk about, don't we?
Boker Tov, yeah, I was wondering what we should say this morning and what listeners might want to hear about. But I would like, with your permission, just to mention that Tom Ruveni is in fourth place overall after race six of the Olympic windsurfing. There are still many races to go. I think 14 races all in all, but he's in fourth place. But Sharon Kanter is in second place at the moment in the women's windsurfing. She is actually the recent world championship gold medalist. So she is a real hope for us. Still a long way to go. Unfortunately, some other disappointments along the way. The surfing, we're still waiting to hear the next round of the surfing and Natalie Leor, who is due to take place. But we have some other things that we want to talk about beyond that, right? Mm, even though the Olympics is going on in the background, and we don't want to lose sight of some of those important things as well.
Let's talk about the big stories. What happened?
Wow. We don't really know what happened because we don't have a great deal of information. But the news that we have had, and interestingly, the source of the information is purely from the announcement that was made by Hamas and then subsequently confirmed by a representative of the Iranian National Guard, the Revolutionary Guard Corps, to say Ismail Haniyeh and his guard, that were both of whom were present in his residence in Tehran, were martyred. Those are the words that they used. Mm. And we are happy to create martyrs for people like that. That's what we know. So I think there are a few things that we can talk about around the edges. First of all, of course, this is happening in Iran, and it's happening the day after the presidential inauguration, that Ismail Haniyeh traveled to Iran from Qatar to attend the inauguration of the new Iranian president, who, by the way, was replacing a president who was assassinated. And we kind of forget a little bit that was also an event that took place during the course of this war. And even though there hasn't yet been any formal confirmation of exactly who was responsible, but the suspicions grow all the time as to how it could be that the Iranian president's helicopter came down in the circumstances that it did. It just wasn't something that was expected or can be easily explained. So Ismail Haniyeh came to Iran to attend the inauguration of the new Iranian president. He was received with VIP status, and there was a picture showing him and his delegation meeting with the Iranian president and the supreme leader in the presence of these very revered leaders with their shoes on, because usually apparently one is expected to remove one's shoes when having an audience with the supreme leader. But in this case, Ismail Haniyeh and his entourage were photographed with their shoes on in this meeting. He was also reported to have met yesterday with the leader of the Houthis from Yemen and with the leader of Palestinian Islamic Jihad, a real fraternity get together of all the main protagonists of the Iranian forces, the Iranian forces that are many of whom currently involved in attacking Israel in one shape or form. And of course, then the dramatic news this morning that a missile had been fired into his residence and had killed him and his guard. That's the news. That's the information that we know. Now, one would say that this is chutzpah. I think that chutzpah doesn't go anywhere near describing this. I think this is audacity in, on a major scale, and it sort of ranks up there, I would say, with on the audacity scale with Entebbe and Osirak and the preemptive strike in the Six-Day War, and potentially even the theft of the nuclear documents from that storeroom in Tehran. I think that this ranks up there on the audacity scale. And the reason that I think it's particularly audacious is not because of the individual and what he represents and the organization that he leads. But I think the fact that it was done in Iran during the days of celebration for the inauguration of the president is particularly audacious, because even if the Iranians didn't want to be involved in this event, they are dragged in without any choice. They are part of this event now because he was essentially their guest during the Iranian president's inauguration ceremony. He arrived there for the purpose of the ceremony, and even though he was staying in his own private residence in Tehran, this really drags the Iranian regime into a place that they really don't want to be right now, because they still haven't quite sorted out how they're going to respond to their own president having been assassinated. That is still out there somewhere on the agenda that needs to be taken care of, which has made them look very, very silly indeed. And I think that this sends a tremendous message to so many different audiences. I think, first of all, to the Iranians and the Houthis and other Hamas leaders, and potentially to Hezbollah leaders. We'll talk a little bit about what happened in Beirut yesterday. That was going to be the main story that we were going to talk about, but that's kind of been reduced to almost nothing following this morning's news. But it sends a message to the leaders of all of these organizations that nobody is too big, and nowhere is a place that you can hide. There is no place to hide, not even in the suburbs of Tehran can you hide away. It doesn't matter who you are. And I think that's a very, very powerful message. And I think it's got a lot of people thinking very, very significantly today about where this goes from here. By the way, when we're talking about Hamas leadership, we haven't heard much more about Mohammed Deif, who they denied was killed and has gone very silent, and nothing else has been said. The IDF have confirmed that he was killed. It seems by all accounts that he was killed. Hamas have not confirmed that. And yet this particular event last night, they were the first ones to come out and acknowledge that Ismail Haniyeh was killed. So that, I think, is also a very, very interesting departure from the usual style that Hamas have used up until now. I think it's also a very powerful message to Israeli citizens and to Jews around the world, that even though the IDF lost their focus on October the 7th, and there is a lot still to be dealt with and to be accounted for about exactly what led to that event, we have somehow now managed to regain the upper hand. We are kind of back in control of events, and it's restoring some sense of confidence and some sense of national pride in our security forces and in their ability to operate, not only here within Israel, not only around the Gaza area, but also elsewhere around the world, including Tehran and including potentially other areas as well, where these leaders may be hiding. So I think that this is a very, very powerful message that's being sent out to so many different audiences around the world. And it's interesting for me to hear what your response is and what the listeners are thinking about this, and how they feel this may have changed the playing field in terms of the war that we're currently fighting and the anti-Semitism that we're suffering from around the world.
So it's absolutely fascinating, because the, you know, Israel's always accused of genocide and mass murder and mass slaughter. This is the perfect operation, isn't it? It's taking out the leader of a terror organization, nobody else getting hurt aside from his bodyguard, in an incredibly precise and, as you say, a chutzpahdik attack on him and where he was. It's very, very difficult to spin this. You don't even have the Hamas the Gaza Health Ministry to tell us that, 100 children died in this event. So it will be interesting to see even how it's reported, because it does place haters of Israel in a very difficult position.
Well, and I think that this kind of ties into what happened yesterday in the suburbs of Beirut, where Fuad Shukr, who was variously described as the Hezbollah number two man, he's been described as the Hezbollah chief of general staff, he's been described as a very, very senior commander in Hezbollah, and of course he's been accused of being involved in planning and executing the massacre that took place in Majdal al-Shams over the weekend. He was taken out by Israeli Air Force fighter jets who fired at the building where he was located. I think that the Lebanese officials have said that even though some dozens of people were injured, that only two people were killed, of which he was one of them.
Right.
So again, a very, very precise hit against a target who is undeniable. Nobody can argue that he wasn't a justified target, not only because of his involvement in the massacre of Majd al-Shams over the weekend, but also he was very much influential in 1983 when 240 U.S. servicemen and almost 60 French servicemen were killed in Beirut. And he is the person who has the blood on his hands for that particular event, as well as many, many other events. So it's not only about what he's done against Majd al-Shams over the weekend, what he's done against Israel in other numerous attacks that have taken place and been carried out, but he also is responsible for killing US and French servicemen. So now this drags in many other people from around the world who also had a bounty. And he said, let's not forget that the Americans had placed a $5 million bounty on his head even before the attack over the weekend. So the Americans can't come out and say, this was an unjustified attack. This was something that shouldn't have taken place. This was a very, very cleanly executed and well justified attack. And then again, last night, of course, the attack against Ismail Haniyeh, very, very similar,
right,
clinically executed, very, very accurate. I'd love to see the movie about how the planning was done,
incredible,
to make sure that they were ready for Ismail Haniyeh when he arrived for the presidential inauguration, how that missile was fired in the suburbs of Tehran, how that missile even got to the suburbs of Tehran in the first place, who was the person who pushed the button, what's their background, how did it turn out that they were in Tehran, was it a drone, how did all of, there's so many different questions that one can ask about the events that took place and how brilliantly it's been executed. This is, of course, international news. The U.S. administration have really nothing to say about this. And, of course, it throws everything that's happening at the moment.
Well, this was going to be my question, is what about the hostage deal? What about what can Israel expect in terms of reprisal? Is Israel on high alert for this? What is the, what is the prevailing thought?
So interestingly, we have been advised by the Home Front Command that nothing changes in terms of the instructions that we are currently having to live with. So in other words, even after last night's attack in the suburbs of Beirut against Fuad Shukr, and now in the light of the attack against Ismail Haniyeh, the Home Front Command says no change. Everything continues as usual. And so that to me says they're not really expecting any major reprisal attack from these particular events, that nothing changes. The Home Front Command representative said, we have our anti-missile systems, which are all in place. That anti-missile system is not hermetic, and we need to continue to observe the instructions by the Home Front Command, but no special orders are being given about people needing to be closer to their bomb shelters or not gathering in crowds, or the usual instructions that we get when we go onto high alert. There's no higher alert this morning in Israel. It's business as usual. So in terms of our day-to-day operation, that is the current instruction. In terms of the hostage negotiations, it was clear that Ismail Haniyeh was really pulling the strings on the Hamas side. It's not clear what will happen now with the Rome discussions that are going on. One journalist, tongue-in-cheek, said, well, now we just need to negotiate directly with Al Jazeera because they apparently seem to be the ones pulling the strings.
Oh, that's terrible. That is terrible.
But the message is that we don't really know now who is the person who will fill the shoes of Ismail Haniyeh and who will be the person making the decisions about how we go about the hostage release and, of course, a ceasefire arrangement for Gaza. Activities in Gaza continue. Yesterday was a particularly brutal day on our northern border with one Israeli being killed as a result of shrapnel that fell from missiles and drones that were fired over the border. There were many that caused damage and lit fires in the north. It was quite a rough day in northern Israel yesterday. But today, our fear, our feeling of national pride and a little more confidence in our security forces has really been reinforced. And I hope that our friends around the world feel the same as we do.
Absolutely. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Such an important conversation and so many different ways in which this can go. We're going to try and get a sense of all of these implications. It's 8:01. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.
Hi, it's Barry Cohen from the Blue Agency. Israel is currently facing one of its biggest challenges ever. All of Klal Yisrael is praying for the safety of our soldiers and the return of the hostages. We hope and pray that our soldiers and security forces will prevail and that they will all return home speedily and triumphant. We hold the hands of our clients and friends who have children serving in Tzahal, who are protecting Israel and Jews around the world. May Hashem protect us all.